What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. Since I screwed up this week saying March instead of May, I have to sit there and stare at the 05. I can't wait for this effing month to be done. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
And the busiest lady in the business, Andrea
What's
Renee.
What's good, Greg and Tim?
It's a three-person Games Daily. Woo! Can you believe it?
No.
Is this the first one since Victor Lucas?
Yeah. There has been an official, the full-on, but yeah, there's just too much news. There's so much news today, ladies and gentlemen, that we have to get in here and we have to be serious. We have to have a panel of experts. It's bananas. If you didn't know. This is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your questions, your comments, your bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record the show live at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live right now, you have a special job. You have to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight. For everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. We're all business today.
All business, right? No play.
Kevin, no fucking around today. Thank you. housekeeping for you. It is literally 1 month until prom. 1 month from today, we are all partying San Francisco at the prom. You should come. Kindoffunny.com/tickets for all the details.
I'm going to be there.
I still haven't picked out my dress. I have a couple contenders.
I gotta figure out my tux situation too. Did I ever show you the suit coat I was thinking about getting?
Don't think so.
Oh, really?
Maybe you did. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's like that's a great. I don't know if that's my entire prom ensemble or if it's just for a segment of the prom. Mm-hmm. But then even outside of that, I gotta figure out lots to figure out for prom. But it's only a month away. Get on it. E3 is also coming up. That's only a week away, pretty much.
No way.
Like a week. I mean, like Saturday is the launch, so it's a week from Saturday. But I'm just gonna say we're pretty much a week from
E3. Exciting.
Remember, here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Well, I guess twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames for the pre, post show, watch along streams. We'll talk over every conference except the PC one. We'll do Gamescast reacts for every conference except the PC one. If you don't catch any of that live, the reactions go up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and then the Gamescast post show analysis go up as Gamescast on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And of course, podcast services around the globe. Then, after all them conferences Tuesday, we go down to LA for E3. We'll be seeing a gajillion games. The schedule's looking real good. I don't know if you've taken a peek at what I've been planning for you guys.
No, I haven't.
You got some good stuff on
I
there.
I feel really weird sitting here.
Why?
Like, I don't think I've ever sat in the middle.
Tim. This is a nice jacket.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
it's you. All eyes on you, as they say. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I like it.
Okay, cool.
It brings out the blue in your eyes.
Thank you.
It does. Yeah, it's true. We'll go down there to E3, see a bunch of games, do reaction videos, do Gamescast from there, and maybe do a live show. Wink, wink. We'll talk about that later. And then today we're brought to you by Omaha Steaks and Brooklinen.com, but I'll tell you about that later because I've already wasted enough time. For now, let's get into a meaty helping of the Roper Report, which is and always will be. Kevin, do the jingle. Time for some news. 7 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
The drought is over. Insert your Andy Dufresne gift from the Shawshank Redemption of all the video game news raining down on him. Let's start with the first one. There's a whole bunch of Pokemon news. There's a Pokemon blowout last night, everybody.
We're going back to Kanto, ladies and gentlemen. I had to wear the jacket.
He's a Pokemon trainer from Kanto.
Kanto jacket.
Now, this is the same guy, Kano, from Mortal Kombat, yes?
Exactly.
Okay, great.
That's canon, for sure.
What I'm going to do here, Tim and Andrew, is read down the Nintendo press release.
Okay.
You can either just let me go, you can interrupt when you want. Trust me, we got questions about all this stuff and reactions from you, the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show listeners, viewers, readers, whatever. You're reading a transcript of this somewhere. So do what feels necessary. Okay. It's jazz, all right?
Got it.
Last night, Nintendo, the Pokemon company, Game Freak, and Niantic announced several fun new Pokemon experiences coming to the Nintendo Switch system in 2018, including one that is available right now. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. Those are the titles. Taking place in the diverse and vibrant Kanto region, this new pair of games is packed with adventure for Pokemon trainers of all ages.
Even 28.
In the Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee games, you will partner up with either Pikachu or Eevee and embark on an exciting adventure where you'll catch and battle Pokemon, meet other trainers, and discover the region of Kanto. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and... I'm just going to say stop. The Let's Go games. All right, come on, guys. Launched exclusively on the Nintendo Switch on November 16th, 2018. Pokeball Plus. This controller was specially designed by Nintendo to enhance the gameplay experience for aspiring Pokemon trainers by replicating the look and feel of an actual Pokeball.
Hell yeah.
The Pokeball Plus allows players to control their journey in Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, combining motion controls, a pressable, thank you, control stick, and top button to create a truly immersive Pokemon adventure. In addition to motion controls, the Pokeball Plus also lights up with a variety of colors, vibrates, and plays sounds. Players can even send one Pokemon at a time from Pokemon Let's Go, the series, to Pokeball Plus and bring it along for a stroll in the real world.
And it makes like their little Pokemon battle cries.
Yeah.
And when it goes to the Pokeball, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
And then you can like pet the Pokeball and you hear Pikachu like Pika.
Yeah, they sounded in the trailer, they sounded real happy to get their balls pet. The Pokeball Plus is also compatible with Pokemon Go app, providing the same functionality as Pokemon Go Plus. Pokeball Plus will launch alongside Pokemon Let's Go, the two games I've said a million times, November 16th, 2018. Connect to Pokemon Go. By wirelessly connecting Pokemon Go to Pokemon Let's Go series, players can transfer Kanto region Pokemon into the Nintendo Switch games. Catch and battle with a friend. Play Pokemon Let's Go, the two of them, cooperatively anytime, anywhere, on one system. Each player can use a single Joy-Con controller or Pokeball Plus sold separately to catch and battle together. Then, Pokemon Quest. Set off on an adventure in the Pokemon Quest game. Venture out with your Pokemon buddies on expeditions across Tumble Cube Island in search of loot in this free-to-start action-adventure game for the Nintendo Switch system. Modify your Pokemon buddies with discovered Power Stones to make your expedition team. With a cube-shaped art style, Pokemon Quest is unlike any Pokemon game you've seen before. The simple gameplay makes it easy to hop into expeditions and start exploring Tumble Cube Island with the help of your Pokemon buddies. Afterward, head back to your base camp where you can use the loot you found during your adventure to befriend more Pokemon. Attract various Kanto region Pokemon to your base camp by cooking up dishes made with collected ingredients. You can even decorate your base camp with fun items that provide helpful bonuses and make your expeditions more beneficial. Now listen here, this is the one that's out right now, right? Mm-hmm. You can download on Switch.
Yes.
Great. Final thing, in addition to all this exciting content, it was announced that Game Freak is simultaneously developing another core RPG entry in the Pokemon series, slated to be released for Nintendo Switch in 2019.
Get hyped, boys.
Tim Geddes.
Yes.
You're the Pokemaster.
Yes.
What does all this mean?
Here's the thing. This is not worst case scenario. It is also not best case scenario.
Oh.
Yes. There's a lot of layers to this. This Pokemon Quest, I'm not interested in it. I'm sure a lot of people are. So that's cool. It's out there, available now. Let me know if it's worth playing, and then we can go from there. The little Pokeball accessory?
Yeah.
Dope as fuck.
Yeah.
Do I care? No. But I'm happy.
Are you going to get it, though?
Probably.
Yeah.
But am I going to end
you
up
care?
Using it? I don't know.
You're going to get it.
But I because I don't really like the gimmicky peripherals with a lot of that type of stuff. And like when it comes to things like Pokemon, I want to play it as just normally as possible.
See, yesterday I tweeted that I thought that this didn't feel gimmicky because it felt like a natural fit. Of all the gimmicky peripherals that exist, and of which there are plenty, this one actually feels like it organically makes sense.
And Pokemon's had a lot of peripherals in the past.
Like pedometer.
The pedometer and all that type of stuff, or the Pokemon Go thing that they have.
Oh, that
Pokemon
bracelet
Plus,
thing.
Plus, whatever. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, yeah, those are weird.
I've
so the fact that it's actually
Goldfarb has one.
Pokeball?
I don't talk to Andrew Goldfarb. He's a monster.
That it's actually a Pokeball. Really cool. I like that it lights up and stuff. It's just one of those things where it doesn't interest me because I'm a 28-year-old man. When I was 10, this would have been dream scenario.
Yeah.
Like that, there's nothing cooler than that. And I remember when we first saw the Pokemon Go trailer, it was like, oh my God, this is like too good to be true. And we know how that ended up, which was
they made hundreds of millions of dollars.
It was an experience, and you know, it was unlike anything else. And it's like, it was really cool. It wasn't as cool as the commercial made it seem, but like it was there. Like people were out collecting Pokemon in real life. That's fucking awesome. We had a great time doing that. Combining that with a core Pokemon RPG is so smart. And you can just, when you read through this, all you see is Nintendo's about to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
So much money. This is the wisest business decision they could make. Go back to the originals, go back to what the nostalgia that everybody knows, and add on the fact that so many people that never played Pokemon before did a couple years ago with Go. Get Go in the name. Not like there's Pikachu. Everyone knows Pikachu. Guess what? We're going to make another mascot here. They've been pushing Eevee for like the last year. And I think it's a smart call to push another mascot out there that is cute and adorable and everyone's going to love. And I feel like there's just so many things to latch onto that this is going to convert a lot of people into playing Pokemon for the first time. And it's going to, everyone that plays Pokemon is going to want to continue to enjoy this.
Now, you said that they're doing, this is a core game.
Yeah, so it's a core
Christopher writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I'm sorry, but I just have to say this angry Greg voice. What the fuck, Nintendo? Last night on Pokemon's official Twitter, they released the Let's Go Pikachu Eevee trailer. And to be honest, I am extremely disappointed. I was hoping for a core Pokemon game this year and totally expected just a remake of an earlier game since it would be easier and faster to do. But this is something else entirely. The trailer is dominated by Pokemon Go mechanics. You throw to catch Pokemon as well as take your Pokemon into the real world. So here's my question. Did Nintendo fuck up? They say that Pokemon Let's Go is based off of Pokemon Yellow, but we hardly get any footage of the overworld and exactly zero footage of any type of gym or gym battles. So is it a remake of Yellow with Pokemon Go mechanics bolted on?
Yeah, there's a lot to digest there. There's a shockingly little amount of gameplay that
it
is shown.
It is just an announcement trailer.
And we got
Are you telling
E3.
Christopher he should calm down about
yes,
internet
I am.
Videos
I'm
about
telling
video
him to calm down. There was a lot of people yesterday chattering about why Nintendo would put this announcement, such a giant announcement about Pokemon Switch, out ahead of their Direct at E3. And
they
this is why.
Do.
They wanted to get out there. They wanted to build hype. And I bet you they're going to show more about the Pokemon titles in their Direct because
Absolutely.
They want to maintain a presence in the conversation for more than just a single day. And this is a smart way to do that, to build hype leading into next week, leading into the week of the Direct.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, they're only drip feeding. Same with Bethesda, which we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Sure.
But yeah, this is just like an announcement of like, hey, we're working on this thing. We got more to show.
2.5 million views already on the trailer. Number one trending thing on YouTube. It's like, I think they're doing fine. They're hitting the audience that they're trying to hit. I don't love how little gameplay we saw even in this, but I understand how much they focused on Go. Just because I know we're going to get the answers in 2 weeks, but there's a lot of questions I have that I'm like, ooh, if they had just shown a little bit more.
What are the questions?
It's things like gyms or the overworld or more like that, because right now it really seems like there's so confirmed no wild Pokemon encounters with traditional battles. It's all Pokemon Go mechanics for that.
So you have to capture your Pokemon through Pokemon Go? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, through the Go mechanics at least.
Oh, like through the Go mechanics. I apologize.
Yeah. You don't actually battle wild Pokemon.
Okay.
You just throw the balls at it.
Okay. And are there fights in general then?
Only against trainers.
Okay.
And they there was a little bit of gameplay of that. But I just feel like right now, you know, a lot of people, like Colin always used to say that Pokemon is baby's first RPG.
Yeah.
This seems like baby's first Pokemon.
Okay.
And that concerns me. And that's what I'm saying. It's not worst case scenario, but it's definitely not the thing that I wanted. But things never go exactly the way I planned.
But why is that bad? Because think about it. There's like a whole generation of kids who maybe are having trouble getting into Pokemon because there's been so many Pokemons throughout the last couple of decades that if you try to like enter in at like X and Y, you know, or Ultra or any of the other like kind of remakes that we've had, that it might be too difficult. And this seems like if people who have never played Pokemon before have gotten into it because of Pokemon Go, as you were discussing, mm-hmm. then this seems like a really smart move to get those people who are like, hey, I downloaded Pokemon Go and
sure.
spent, you know, however many dollars playing that game. And now if this game is similar, easy mechanics, maybe it's, you know, kind of like a gateway into the franchise.
Absolutely. It is a very smart call from a business perspective. It's just not what I wanted from Pokemon.
As a longtime Pokemon fan.
As a longtime Pokemon fan and as somebody like a G1 or whatever, like I love Kanto. I love the originals. Us getting this game means I'm never going to get the sequel that I wanted. I'm never going to get the proper, we're going back there, the continuing adventures of Red and Blue. What's going on? Like, how has Kanto changed in 10 years, whatever it is?
How do you know that, though? They haven't released any details about the Pokemon game coming in 2019.
I mean, they're not going to double up and go back again.
You don't know.
There's no way. There's no way. That'll be Gen 8. That'll be a new region, totally. And, like, that's why I'm happy that I'm finally getting what I asked for, going back to Kanto. I just wish that it wasn't this kind of like entryway for new players.
Figgy chimes in over at kindoffunny.com/KFGD and he has a question of how successful will Let's Play Pokemon games be. He goes, I think the target audience being Go players in Pokemon, these sirens are here in our office, not where you're driving. I think with the target audience being Go players and Pokemon Go having 800 million downloads, even a small turnover of 5% can be huge for the company and a way to reel in more players in preparation for the 2019 game.
Oh my God. it's going to make so much money. It's going to sell so many copies. We're on the Switch. First Nintendo or first Pokemon game on the Switch. First Pokemon RPG on a console. At least core RPG. Based on everyone's most memorable characters, like, this is going to sell so many copies. And then, yeah, and having 2019, these are the games that are going to push the Switch to the 20 million units that they were trying to get.
Benjamin chimes in, and I'm going to read the second part here. He goes, Benjamin, then he has his last name, and he goes, it's Italian. Do the hand motion, and it'll be easier to say. So, Benjamin... Buggerini. Admittedly, I see why Pokemon Let's Go might be seen as divisive. But four moves, classic battle system, co-op, hard to find a reason to complain for me. As long as the Pokemon Go mechanics aren't forced, what do you think Go integration might be? I'm sorry. As long as Pokemon Go mechanics aren't forced, I'm going to put a period there, and then I'm going to go. But do you think Go integration might be a permanent mainstay for the future of Pokemon?
I think that they will be.
It makes sense.
In some way or other.
For me, it's two sides of the same coin. Goldfarb, of course, all over this on Twitter. I've been seeing him tweet about it nonstop. But when they announced that, yeah, your Go characters carry over to this game, right? He was like, full Pokedex on day one. Like, yeah. He's got everything ready to go. And for me, it's like, okay, cool. I haven't played Pokemon Go since it launched and we were super into it. And when I do inevitably turn this one on and see, it's awesome that I'm going to be able to bring over the however many I have.
Which is weird. I don't know.
You don't how like I it? That ain't about you?
Yeah, no. Because, I mean, like, that's kind of then the game's done. Like that kind of ruins a lot of the experience. But here's how I want people to think about this game.
Tell me how to think about this game. Tell me what my thoughts are on this game.
This is Pokemon Go 2.
Okay.
Like that's what Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee are taking Go and putting it into what a console experience version would be. This isn't a mainline core generational Pokemon game. This is something different that is borrowing a lot of mechanics from the core games. And that sounds cool to me. It's not exactly what I want, but it's going to be really good.
How do you expect to play this? Like for a while? Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
Well, I mean, definitely. Like Pokemon Go, you didn't like go over the moon crazy for.
Yeah. But it's like, this is different. I mean, it's going to be, especially if it's a remake of Yellow and a reimagining in whatever way. Yeah. Like I'm assuming there'll be gym battles. I'm assuming the Elite Four is there. I'm assuming Red and Blue will be characters in this at some point. Like,
okay.
A lot of things that I want are going to be there. A lot of things I want aren't going to be there. Like Johto, which was confirmed to not be there, which would have been awesome. But
how do you feel about the motion controls?
I mean, I don't like that at all, but whatever, I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Like it is, I get that this game is for either younger players or people that, you know, aren't super familiar with the Pokemon games. And I'm like, all right, I can deal with that.
Patrick writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, with the Pokemon reveal, it appears catching Pokemon requires motion controls, and considering the recent discussions on accessibility and Xbox's new product, do you think Game Freak will make this optional? If it doesn't, do you think there will be any major response from the community? Personally, I'm a diehard Pokemon fan, but I haven't had the best experience with motion controls, and it might be a deal breaker for me, but I'd like to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
This is an interesting question because, you know, we talk a lot about Steven Spahn and Able Gamers on the show.
Yeah.
And Nintendo is probably the least accessible friendly console out there that exists. And so I don't have high hopes that they are thinking about accessibility because they haven't really made it a priority in the past. I would love to see that change, but I don't imagine why they would start doing that now. Maybe, you know, the Xbox initiative around the adaptive controller has kind of spotlighted that more hardware makers need to be thinking about these issues. That's the, you know, the hope and the positive side of this. But realistically, I don't think so.
Very Japanese company. I don't think that they're worrying about that type of stuff. And especially with Pokemon, like Nintendo is separate from the Pokemon company. And
right.
With the decisions that Pokemon company makes, like, I don't think they're thinking about accessibility. Having said that, I would almost bet everything that there will be a way to not use motion controls.
Interesting. I meant to reach out to Steven earlier, but I knew I could just go to his Twitter. He has here where he's quote tweeting something that I think is from GameSpot. It says it's like a Pokemon Let's Go, whatever, FAQ. Is Pokemon Go required? What about motion controls? The response here from, I assume, is GameSpot, but I'm not 100% sure. Pokemon Go is not required to play the Let's Go games. When catching Pokemon in docked mode, you do have to use motion controls to throw Pokeballs. In handheld mode, motion control aiming using the gyroscope is required, but you can use the Joy-Con's buttons to actually throw the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw that in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. He says, what a surprise. The new Pokemon Let's Go game will have mandatory motion controls. At least Xbox and PlayStation care about accessibility because Nintendo don't.
Steven, very witty. Very witty.
Yeah.
He's sharp.
We'll see how this ends.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to go and see. I mean, that is the weird thing of like, I think I'll hold out for getting into my first really getting into a Pokemon game, right? Because I did play, what is it, Soul Silver on DS, yeah. But I think I maybe beat the first gym guy and then never did much more.
Yeah.
I want to play it on Switch. I want to try, but like this one with the motion control or aiming with the gyroscope doesn't sound like my cup of tea for sure. I mean, I'll test it out. I want to see what's up, but
yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm very interested in what the story of this game is and how much it relies on what Yellow builds. I mean, it's the most classic Pokemon story. So it's like I do think that for you it could be an interesting starting point. But the thing about the next game is when you look at Pokemon, especially on like the 3DS, right? We got X and Y, and then we got Sun and Moon. X and Y it looked radically different than the DS games, but it wasn't until Sun and Moon that we got that real, like, this is what a 3DS Pokemon looks like.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's what we're seeing here. A lot of people are complaining about the graphics. I think they look great. But I also understand that next year's game is going to look a lot better.
Speaking of... Ricktide writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Kind of Funny Games Daily Crew. This is for Tim. What are your thoughts on the fact that the next main core Pokemon RPG series was confirmed for the second half of 2019 by a tweet from the Pokemon Company? I'm personally thrilled and vindicated as I've been preaching that the new Gen 8 games wouldn't possibly be ready by this year, especially with everyone's wish list of Breath of the Wild, open world, Mass Effect, dialogue trees, and seamless World of Warcraft MMO gameplay. What are your expectations for Gen 8? Thanks, Ricktide.
Yeah, no, man, I'm so happy that Nintendo figured out a way to get a core Pokemon game out this year and next year.
Yeah.
Very exciting to me. I don't think that Gen 8 is going to be the Breath of the Wild of Pokemon. I think that I don't know that we ever will get that. But I feel like the next game is going to be fairly traditional. And it'll fall in the footsteps of Sun and Moon, but I do think it's going to look a lot better, and it'll be a console experience as opposed to designed for handheld. And maybe the next one, like there'll probably be a remake of Diamond and Pearl after that, and then the next core game on the Switch, I feel like that might open up a little bit more, but not like Breath of the Wild.
Okay. Andrea.
That's a bummer. Yeah. I don't blame you for thinking that way, but I would hope that... in this new era of Nintendo doing cool, innovative stuff on their fancy new piece of hardware, that they would not fall into this trap of, we're just going to make another Pokemon with some new mechanics and some new trash bag Pokemons.
Yeah, that we're going to strip away from the next game. That's another thing going back to Let's Go, the Let's Go games, is finally they're bringing Pokemon Following You back and like all these like features that have been let go because Nintendo Pokemon Company for some reason, like every generation they'll introduce a feature and then the next game take it away and introduce something new. It's like people like these things, bring them all back. But yeah, no, we're not getting anything too different. But also, I don't want anything too different. Like all this MMO, blah blah blah. It's like that's not Pokemon. Turn-based combat is so important, or else it's not Pokemon. It could be a different game. It could be a Pokemon spinoff, but it's not Pokemon.
I think there are exciting new ways to do turn-based combat without sacrificing, you know, what the core of the franchise is. But they've been using the same formula for so long that they have to do something to reinvigorate people who maybe have strayed from the franchise, who maybe outgrown the franchise, or people like me who are interested in it, but who look at it and go, I don't know if I even want to spend the time because I have to do so much research to like learn the battle system. And, you know, I just like, I don't know.
I feel like every game is a pretty good entry point because it kind of does just reset to the detriment of the franchise to people that keep coming back because there's always a way too long of a tutorial that I hope is skippable in these games. But I feel like it's little changes that are necessary to have it not be so similar every time. Don't have the starting lineup be grass, water, fire. Just have it be different types. Get rid of the gym system, which they did in Sun and Moon. Like, I feel like they have done some of these things, and if they just keep going that direction of changing up the formula of there's an evil team and they're trying to stop end the world and all this shit, like it's those type of changes we need, not necessarily like a drastic change the genre of the game thing.
Andrea, are you gonna play Let's Go?
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
What
was your Pokemon Go experience? Did you play that on your phone?
I did. Yeah. I didn't play it as much as Brittany did.
Yeah.
She had a Pokemon Go unhealthy obsession.
Sure.
Which we're going to talk about on What's Good on Friday because she was melting down yesterday watching the Pokemon.
The amount of people who were tweeting out that they were crying watching this. I'm like, good for you. I'm glad you care so much about this. That's awesome. But don't be like Goldfarb and fall in the water and hurt yourself.
Did he hurt himself yesterday?
No, no. Back in the day, right? When he was doing it?
Yeah.
Didn't he scrape himself
while
up
playing
walking
Pokemon
around the
Embarcadero? Oh, Pokemon Go, you mean?
Yeah,
that sounds right.
I think
yeah.
Stone Chin did, though, too. So maybe I'm confusing stories. But
I'm
pretty sure
multiple people, you know, had physical ailments from running into things while playing Pokemon Go.
Well, that wasn't the only announcement. We are following up now on our Fallout tease from yesterday and talking about Fallout 76. The teaser trailer dropped. The highlights, I build this as it all broke. So much has been happening. So Fallout 76 is the Fallout game that Bethesda was teasing yesterday. This is number 2 in the Roper Report, by the way. Teaser trailer shows that it's happening on October 27th, 2102. This is the official vault of the tricentennial Fallout 76. We'll get to why Fallout 76 is important later from Jason Schreier, but there is a quote in there that the fighting has stopped and the Fallout has settled. You must rebuild. It's Reclamation Day. In Vault 76, our future begins. These are all things that are called out in the trailer that are important when I was trying to piece together what the story would be. But of course, Jason Schreier over at Kotaku has more. His first story was this. Although the studio hasn't said yet what it is, we hear it's an online game of sort, being Fallout 76. From what we've heard, this game is under development at both Bethesda Game Studios' main office in Maryland and the Austin office, formerly known as Battlecry Studios. That Austin office, which started in 2012, was making a hero shooter called Battlecry before Bethesda canceled it. We'll see more of the game at Bethesda's E3 press conference on June 10th. Then, Jason Schreier followed up today with another article about Fallout 76 that goes this way. But Fallout 76 is, in fact, an online survival RPG that's heavily inspired by games like DayZ and Rust, according to three people familiar with the project. Originally prototyped as a multiplayer version of Fallout 4 with the goal of envisioning what an online Fallout game might look like, Fallout 76 has evolved quite a bit over the past few years, these sources said. It will have quests and a story like any other game from Bethesda Game Studios, a developer known for meaty RPGs like Skyrim. It will also feature base building, just like 2015's Fallout 4, and other survival-based and multiplayer mechanics, according to those sources. One source cautioned that the gameplay is rapidly changing, like it does in many online service games, but that's the core outline. The game is named after the series Vault 76, which has been mentioned in both Fallout 3 and Fallout 4. According to Fallout lore, Vault 76 was meant to open just 20 years after the nuclear war, allowing for a far less civilized setting than previous games. Fallouts 3 and 4, which are full of cities and settlements, both take place over 200 years after the war, after much of the population has had time to reconstruct human civilization. Fallout 76 will feel very different. As the narrator in the trailer says, when the fighting is stopped and the fallout has settled, you must rebuild.
Also worth noting that the Pip-Boy featured in that trailer has a clock with a date of the 27th of October 2102, excuse me, which is earlier than any previous Fallout game. So prequel?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was my thing when I saw it, right? And when they were, even before I got to Jason's thing down there, right? When he's talking about you got to rebuild, it's going to be this in Vault 76, our future begins. Yeah, this is going to be a prequel of you being the first people apparently out 20 years later, which I totally lost, and going out and building it. What's everybody's read?
I saw the trailer this morning with the music playing and all that stuff. This is a Greg Miller-ass game.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Here we go.
Some country music, why not? Yeah. Some Fallout? Yeah.
Not a Fallout guy. Yeah. This is interesting news. We were talking yesterday about what this could be, and one of the things we talked about was an online game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm sure people are going to be really excited about this. It's also probably not what people expected.
Sure. Yeah. And that what gets interesting when I read through it, and even when Jason's talking about it here, right, is that it's an online survival RPG that's heavily inspired by DayZ and Rust. I wonder how big your instances are going to be. Is it going to be like The Division? Is it going to be like PUBG? Is it going to be like even Left 4 Dead, where I just get 4 people in play and I switch in and out? Or am I building? And I was never one for Rust. Anthony Gaius used to tell me about it all the time. Mitch used to talk about it all the time, of them jumping in, having their own little settlement, doing all these different things and going out. I am on a roller coaster right now, Tim, as a Fallout fan, because I was excited yesterday. Holy shit, more Fallout. Great. Saw the 76 trailer today. I was like, awesome. And then when it was like, it's like DayZ or Rust, I'm like, duh. And I'm like, okay, I'm not the same game player I was a few years ago. I'm not, you know, poo-pooing any multiplayer. But then when it's like, it's using the base building of Fallout 4, I'm like, oh man, that was my least favorite thing about 76 Fallout 4.
Players dropped into a vault.
Yeah, I saw that too. Like, so many people calling out that.
Well, the first thing I thought of was what they're doing with Elder Scrolls Online.
Right.
And is that going to translate in any way to what Fallout 76 is going to become?
People like it.
Is it going to be of a more MMO style game? Are they going to take any learnings that they have from that? I was trying to find out how many people can fit into an instance in ESO, but I couldn't find a specific number. So if you guys are ESO players out there, please write into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and let me know how many people fit into those instances.
Elder Scrolls Online always looked cool. And it, for me, it was just, I just missed the boat with it because when it launched on PC, I was like, oh man, I would play this so much on console. And by the time it got to console, I was playing something else and never got back on. So if it was that kind of world, that sounds cool. A Fallout MMO, sure, but like, what does the base building look like? Is it refined? Because that was my thing of how clunky I thought it was in Fallout 4. And is it going to be that, yeah, I'm out on a quest and no, fucking these giant cockroaches are attaching my, these rad roaches are all over my base. I got to go back and do that. And like, is it micromanagement? How we kind of get, when we talk about State of Decay 2, where I'm like, I'm having fun out here. I don't want to keep running back and forth. Or is it going to be this fully fleshed out universe? I'm excited to see. Like, this definitely I was daydreaming about Bethesda's press conference for E3 Sunday, right? Of like, oh man, like, I can't wait to see what this game actually looks like. I can't wait to actually hear about what it is.
I like that it'll have quests and a story like any other Bethesda game. Like, that's cool, because maybe this is their modern day answer to a New Vegas style thing. Like, like spinoff of just like, it's not going to be the exact same thing, but it's going to be taking elements people do like and changing it up.
Yeah. Know? And that's the thing is, if it is something like an MMO, if it is something like a Division, whatever, if it's something like a game as a service, but I'm just not like the base building. If the base building is just better. That was my one thing, I guess. And this is personally, this is like Greg Miller. I know so many people really dug it. Just personally for me, I was so put off by it that I did not ever want to do it. If it's more functional and it works and it's great, awesome. There's also the question though of with ESO, right? Like, is it going to be something that launches day and date, console, PC, everywhere at the same time? Or is it going to be, it comes out on PC and then 6 months later, they say, and then it'll be 9 months later we actually get it on a console.
I mean, that's hard to say. I would hope that they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Because that splintering your audience like that is never a good call. Yeah. And like you said, you lose people like you who are like, I only play on console and I'm not going to try it on PC. But then by the time it comes to console, my enthusiasm for it has passed.
This is how excited I was about ESO. I did play it on my PC. I did. I put it on there. I tried. I made a little Taylor Swift Archer.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, and I was like, when this comes to PS4, I'll be all over it, and then waited too long.
Do you think this is going to be Bethesda's fall game?
Yeah, I do. I think for sure. I think they'll do the same thing they did with Fallout 4, of like, hey, here's what it is, and we're ready to go. Because I think when you put Fallout in the title, it's going to be, unless they have something Elder Scrolls as well.
I'm holding out hope for an Elder Scrolls 6 tease of some kind.
I don't think it's beyond having a tease, but I don't think that'll be immediately ready. But then it's the same thing of, why tease it? You know what I mean? Like, the industry so applauded Fallout 4's rollout plan, right? Of like, cool, here it is. That's what it is. You can get it in October or whatever.
Tease it because it's not ready yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then everyone's going to be all like, eh.
And then also, yeah, do you step on Fallout's moment then?
I would love that, though. I want that tease. I love teases for games like that. These like tentpole experiences. Like, for certain things like this, it's like, yeah, announce it, give the release date, 3 months, cool, perfect. But for something like Elder Scrolls, yeah, man. Like, build some hype and like let people know that a couple years down the line, we're going to get something awesome.
We'll see. Bethesda's E3 conference right around the corner.
True.
Number three, on any other day, because we've been grasping for news stories, this would have been the thumbnail and everything, but too much happening. Anthem is teasing on Twitter that they're getting ready to do something. They put out today decoding, and it was weird text, and then it became decoding. So probably in the next 24 hours, Anthem will say or do something, and we'll have it here on YouTube.
Not today. It's
games.
Crowded day.
Yeah, I'm sure today they're like, well, let it burn a day. Number four, this is an interest. It almost went into required reading. I guess it kind of still is. From Polygon, Colin Campbell says, Microsoft laid off Xbox support staff in favor of volunteers. I'm going to read a healthy chunk of it, so please go to Polygon, give them a click. Microsoft laid off a team of Xbox support staff earlier this month, replacing them with volunteer Xbox fans, according to two sources affected by the layoffs. Around 12 people lost their jobs earlier this month. The team had worked with direct support inquiries made via the popular Twitter account @XboxSupport. They were employed by a company called Affirma Consulting, but mainly worked in Microsoft's offices. They also worked with volunteer members of the public called Xbox Ambassadors, who were rewarded with prizes for helping deal with support inquiries. Some of those who lost their jobs had been tasked with training the ambassadors. Prior to the layoffs, the paid support team had been tasked specifically with increasing input from ambassadors, according to one source. Polygon understands that Microsoft has retained a small team to manage the ambassadors. When reached for comment, a spokesperson for Microsoft sent us the following statement. Quote, we continue to have a number of highly trained customer support agents plus community ambassadors available to help customers with their needs. The company did not respond to Polygon's request for specific information about the layoffs. Polygon also contacted Affirma Consulting, but have not received a reply. It goes on like that. And I just found it to be an interesting story, an interesting wrinkle of how you do business in this day and age, right?
Yeah.
Of cool, like having it in, like, you know, one of the things is Colin will eventually talk about in the article as he goes on is talking about that one of his sources is talking about that, you know, the Xbox support staff they had is that losing them will actually bring down the quality of the information you're getting from the ambassadors because they, and it's like, I don't know if that's necessarily true. Clearly, yeah. One of the sources I would imagine somebody's been laid off.
Well, it says people are still there. Are still some
there's a
left.
Small there's so, still a small support
I
mean, staff.
12 small. So I wonder. Yeah. I wonder how many more are left. Like, what if there are 15 left?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting and it sucks that people get laid off always. Yeah. Right. But I mean, with business, things happen, and if it makes business sense to do this, then there's that.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Of like, I don't. I mean, right now, I was, you know, there was an old Beyond bit, not even a bit, but where I called the PlayStation support hotline and asked them about this God of War tease that was on the back of a PSP manual. And eventually that person there, I kept recording this conversation, talking to them, and they were like, well, you know, and I was like, he's like, I actually play on Xbox. I'm like, oh my God. They're like, what about Gears of War or whatever? He's like, well, Gears of War is just cross-platform. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the PlayStation, like, I've never thought, and this is a broad brush, but like, you know, your support levels and like knowledge base is going to change and grow and like, or like wane, I should say. So, I mean, is an ambassador less knowledgeable than a person working at Xbox who's been hired through this outsourced group to do this? I don't know. I'm not one to say.
That's a good point.
Yeah. It's just an interesting wrinkle and it's an interesting story. And it is, Colin goes on in his talk to talk about like the ambassadors. You know, who are being rewarded for being the support staff, they get like XP and the challenges in this back end they have that like they have like it's like it's fascinating. Just it's an interesting required reading. It's an interesting thing, but in this day and date, Andrew, where you can outsource to anybody, where they can work anywhere, who you know, you know, Joey Noel was a kind of funny ambassador, and then we hired her, right?
Totally.
Now I mean, apparently we can fire her and just go back the other way.
We'll go back.
No, don't fire Joey.
You know what? It's just something that's always happened. I just want you to know. Number 5, Lego DC Super Villains was announced. This is official. Full disclosure. Hey, Joey. What? You heard that? Well, I just want you to start talking to the kind of funny ambassadors and see how you just bring them up to speed on everything.
A replacement or two for you.
Yeah. That's all you need to do. Just train them a little bit for us. No big deal.
Warn them once they accept the position, they're actually going to have to do literally everything for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's just what Joey does. Yeah.
The Joey job.
Yeah, okay. Number 5, Lego DC Super Villains is announced. Full disclosure, I am in this game. This is that voice job I was teasing a while back. I can't confirm my character yet.
Another Walmart Canada leak confirmed.
Oh, man.
Again, this is one of my things. This was so obvious. This game had already been leaked. The Walmart person could have clearly... we'll get there. As I said, the first Games Daily after E3, we're going to go through that list and see what games didn't get announced. And that'll be my point that I'm correct, Andrea.
Okay.
Lego DC Super Villains is announced. It's coming out October 16th on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC from their press release. For the first time, a Lego game is giving players the ability to create and play as their own DC supervillain throughout the game. Their character becomes the center of the story while teaming up with an iconic variety of villains to adventure through the hilarious and original story written in collaboration with DC. As a DC fan, of course, I was all over a new Lego game, then reading actually what they're doing with it, because when I got my script, I didn't know that part. It actually sounds cool, of building your own supervillain. You unlock new powers as you play, so you can use them and apply them and stuff like that. That's cool. Number 6, Team Sonic Racing is officially announced.
You can make
the Grabbler could actually come to DC supervillains. We'll see. Team Sonic Racing is officially announced as well. This is coming in winter on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC from Sumo Digital. I'm going to read from IGN's article now. Players can race.
It's not on Switch?
No. Players can race as a team and work together using various moves and special items, aka wisps, to aid their teammates and get ahead of the competition. The game will support both online multiplayer and local co-op, with 12 players per race and 4-player split-screen support. An introductory, story-centric adventure mode will be available for players to familiarize themselves with the game and its wide array of characters. Team Sonic Racing will boast a roster of 15 playable characters from the Sonic universe, including Sonic, Tails, and Shadow, along with specific types, be it power, technique, or speed. The game will also feature various customization options, allowing players to adjust the performance and look of their vehicle. Excited, Tim?
Man, my excitement just went all the way down.
Can you give me a quick fact check on that, Andrea? It's not coming to Switch, right? I'm fairly certain that I got that right.
That seems but like I, such
I think it called
major
out that it was like coming
mistake.
Everywhere but Switch. Because this is a game that, you know, well, not this one, but the last Sonic Racing game, right, was on Vita as well, and
yeah,
people really
Wii
loved
U
it.
And all that. All-Stars Racing Transformed. I was really excited about this. Also, something that I'm a little bummed about is it's just Sonic characters.
It's Sonic Racing, man.
Yeah, and the other one had All-Stars.
Well, that was like Sega All-Stars or something, right?
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Yeah. We'll see. I never played the last one, so I do like a good car
racer. I played the last one, and I didn't love the way
you're
it
asking me if Sonic Racing is coming to Switch. Was that the question?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Fuck yeah. Okay.
Reaches PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC this winter, according to Engadget.
Okay. Cool.
Perfect.
Because this is the type of game that I want to play just randomly on a plane for the rest of the, for like a whole year.
Just chip away.
You know what I mean? Chip away.
Yeah.
Just like do a couple races and like go back. Because like Mario Kart 8, like, I still go back to it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you're grinding on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But a long time. I'm familiar with these tracks.
Yeah.
And we got the opportunity to see it up close and personal, but we can't talk about our impressions until next week.
We are still very much embargoed. Be careful there.
I'm not going to say anything else.
Busiest lady in business. number 7, your final item on the Roper Report. Guess what's coming back, everybody? The Intellivision, for some fucking reason. They're going to make a new console.
Jared Petty's like super stoked, I'm sure.
Of course he is. I'm going to read from their press release first before Andrea put in some stuff from Dean over at VentureBeat. Intellivision Entertainment is proud to announce that it will bring the concept of simple, affordable, family, and fun back into homes across the world.
I've missed those things.
Across the world with the introduction of a brand new video game console. The Intellivision system, named TBA, will carry on the company tradition of first with its new concept design and approach to gaming. That's pretty much where the information about the console ends. Video games live creator and 30-year video game industry veteran Tommy Tallarico has been named president of Intellivision Entertainment as the company turns its focus on a rebranding and reimagining for the 21st century while still paying homage to its legacy roots. Details on the new console will be released on October 1st. 2018. Then, over at VentureBeat, Dean Takahashi had these things. Tallarico has relaunched the Irvine, California-based company as Intellivision Entertainment, and he is serving as president alongside some of the original Intellivision team members. Originally released in 1980, the Intellivision console and its successors sold millions of units over 3 decades. The new Intellivision system, named TBA, will carry on the company's traditions, like we said. And then, quote, "I see a huge gaping hole in the market now with families in the home," said Tallarico. Quote, "We will be focused. We will not try to compete with Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo. That would be insane. We would need $1 billion, end quote.
A huge kind of announcement is gaping this? Hole
this is
in
a
the
Tommy
market?
Tallarico ass announcement. I'm going to be honest.
I mean, that to me is overreaching in every way.
Andrea, but I think we would all admit, right? Console gaming is not simple, affordable, family, or fun. Like, you know what I mean? There's no console gets it outside
maybe
of that.
One or two of the things, but it's definitely
nobody's
not all
nailed
four.
All four. Yeah. Nobody's nailed all. What the hell?
Or everyone has. Yeah, maybe it's that. Maybe it's that option.
It's just like, it's such a weird, I don't understand, you know, as I've said before, we don't have business degrees. I'm sure there's some reason you have to announce here for whatever, to drum up support or whatever. I know they're doing interviews at E3 or something that about a console they can't talk about, but this is just like the weird ass Atari box that came out there or got announced.
Well, they probably don't have a good name, so they're just going to like, they put this
what
out
there. What
would
you call it? In interviews, like, he's like, well, what would you call it?
Yeah, like,
well, I can't
it.
Say if that's one of them, but maybe that is on the short list.
I just have such little patience for people who speak like this in press releases. It smacks of like it's patronizing.
It's
right?
Early you 2000s know, PR, right? Of just like, we have nothing to say, but we're saying stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
But also, like, I mean, I appreciate his candidness coming out and saying we're not trying to compete with the other hardware makers. But I mean, you have to explain why what you're doing is so radically different than what's currently on the market.
Right.
And saying that there's a huge gaping hole in the market that is just categorically false. There's not a huge gaping hole. Not to say that there's not room for more competition. Of course there is. But I don't think, you know, taking a shot at your competition like this is the right way to go about it.
It's just, I mean, it screams that it's going to be another SNES classic. It's going to be something like that. It's like whatever this Atari thing. Somebody put in the comments today or the KFGD today that like pre-orders may be open for Atari today for that VC, whatever the hell it was.
But isn't that super expensive? Isn't it like $200?
Have they ever confirmed what the fuck it is? Like, I don't know. Everybody's like saw the success of the NES classic and the SNES classic and they're like, fuck, let's bring back every old, like, yeah, I'm sure Jared is.
Oh yeah,
like,
it's finally available for pre-orders. So this posted 7 hours ago. Collector's edition wood front finish is available for $299. The black onyx edition is priced at $199. Both models and classic joysticks and modern controllers are all available exclusively on Indiegogo. Planning to ship mid-2019.
That ain't going to happen, I bet. That's Greg's prediction on that.
That it's not going to ship? Yeah.
Not in mid-2019. I'm sure something horrible will happen and I'll be... year and a half from now reading about how everybody's pissed off on Indiegogo.
The base model there, the classic joystick and the modern controller is $59. That seems semi-reasonable.
So we'll say check. We'll check on that one at least. Affordable. So that one's getting affordable down on Atari. All right. Family, we'll give it a check. Fun, questionable, simple, questionable. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
On the Intellivision ranking scale of consoles, it's like Game Pro now. Like old Game Pro. It was old Game Pro, right? With the fun factor?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Man.
I can't wait, Tim, to find out what the fucking television's doing.
I can.
But if I wanted more immediate information, like say what games are coming to the mom and grab shop, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. I need you to go get Cool Greg. All right. We're not doing any more of the show until Cool Greg is here and on that microphone. Sit on that chair. Turn on that microphone. Out today. Fortnite shopping carts. We're all very excited. You can see videos about it. But more importantly, Goosebumps Horror Town for iOS and Android.
Let's get it.
Cool, Greg. You were very excited last night to have this game.
Yeah.
Have you played it?
Yeah. I got a little house. So you build like a little town, right? I only got the house right now. So you read the stories, and then from that, you take like either the building or whatever it is, and you build your little town. So I'm going to have a creepy town. You have to choose where the buildings go. Joey got it. You guys should download it too.
Oh, we should download it? Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think so. I think it's
so
great.
So far? Okay.
Goosebumps Horror Town.
You describe it, it reminds me of that Simpsons game everybody liked a lot.
Yeah, I like that game too.
Okay. Is that what it's like?
Yeah. Tap Out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
Is it better?
Yeah, I think so. Because I like, because it's spooky, so you can make it scarier and stuff. And then you see the people like running away from the shit you build.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
All right. Thank you, Cool Greg.
No, thank you.
And apparently mummies run after you.
Yeah.
Goosebumps Horror Town for iOS and Android out now. Get it, and then you can squat up with Cool Greg maybe for it. Stay is on Xbox One. That's right, that game I was talking about forever, where you're at a computer terminal and you have to type out, and there's some other person at a computer terminal, and they've been kidnapped, and you got to figure it all out together, and there's a bunch of different endings made by a very small team. I am very much in the tank for it. No, they didn't pay me. They're just really nice people, and I think the game's cool. So Stay's out on Xbox One. Give it a shot. Shift Quantum, another game I've been talking about, is coming to Switch, Xbox One, PS4, and PC today. Die for Valhalla is on Xbox One. Fox and Forest is on Xbox One. Knights of Pen and Paper Plus One Deluxier Edition is on Xbox One. Remember, it came to Switch yesterday. Remember, I've talked about that I like this one a lot on my Switch. You should play it too. The Journey Down Chapter 1 is on Xbox One. Zamba Redux is on Xbox One. Birdcakes is on Xbox One. Moonlighter is on Xbox One. And then Monster Hunter is getting an update. The latest title update, including Lunastra, a big old monster, will be available for free in just under 12 hours on May 30th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. So roughly 5 hours from now. So assemble your squad and good luck. New dates for you. July 10th, you can get Insane Robots on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and Mac. Under deals of the day, PlayStation Plus announces games for June. PlayStation 4 is getting XCOM 2, Trials Fusion. PlayStation 3 is getting Zombie Driver HD, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier. And then PlayStation Vita, It Lives, is getting Atomic Ninjas and Squares. Then, right from May 27th through June 2nd, so now... but time's already running out. You'll get a copy of State of Decay 2 with your Xbox One X purchase. And from June 3rd to June 9th, you'll get a copy of Red Dead Redemption with your Xbox One X purchase. Good games. Good deals. Xbox One X is doing stuff out there.
Just a little added value.
Yeah, why not? Andrea.
Yes.
Believe it or not, 48 minutes into the show, it's time for reader mail.
All right.
But first, I'm going to tell you we're brought to you by OmahaSteaks.com. Mm-hmm. Father's Day is right around the corner, and dads love meat. How much did my dad love his Omaha steak meat? He liked it so much that now every holiday he sends me Omaha steaks. So I gotta figure out, maybe I'll send him an Intellivision one the next time around. So I'll get my own Intellivision back. Omaha Steak delivers hand-trimmed, flash-frozen, and vacuum-sealed meats directly to the door in the Omaha Steaks cooler. They got pork, poultry, veal, lamb, and more. Omaha Steaks even gives you the option to customize the cuts for your dad's grilling needs, find recipes, wine pairings, and etc. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited-time offer to my listeners for Father's Day. At 78% off, this is a really amazing deal. Go to OmahaSteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and you get this package. It has 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 4 chicken fried steaks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 Omaha steak burgers, 4 jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus you get 4 more burgers free with the purchase. Again, this is limited time package for $49.99 when you go to OmahaSteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and add the Father's Day package to your cart.
I missed out on the Monday.
The Memorial Day grilling where we grilled the Omaha steaks.
How were the steaks?
Were delicious.
Fantastic. They were so good. Andrea ordered the Omaha steaks today for something.
I did.
Did I fuck this up?
No, you're fine.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to OmahaSteaks.com. Type KF Games in the search bar. Grab your dad. Fire. You never know. Like with a gift. Wait, was that supposed to be a surprise or somebody? Did I screw this up?
Yeah, no. I've ordered the Omaha steaks from the Games Daily thing for my dad.
Yeah. Perfect.
He loves getting them.
Who doesn't love steaks? Yeah. And also, who doesn't love sheets? Go to brooklinen.com. Tim and I sleep together in Omaha. Or no, in Brooklinen sheets.
Separately.
No, I meant together.
Oh, so, okay.
No. We both have them. Do you like your Brooklinen sheets?
Love them.
Did you like how easy it was to go there, color correct, put it all together, figure out what you want?
I want to go back and get more.
I do too, actually.
I want an alternate set.
Yeah. Wait, can you tell me which ones you ordered? Because Greg never remembers which type.
She wants to know if it's like deluxe or normal. I don't even know what she's talking about when she's talking
about. I don't know.
You look at that and I'll read the ad. You spend a third of your life in the sheets, so they make a difference in how you sleep. You can go right now to brooklinen.com for an exclusive offer. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com, promo code GAMES, Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. Which one did he call out?
He called out the Lux. Apparently, they're sold out of the Hardcore Sheet Bundle.
Dang, man.
It says 0 different colors.
Look at that. We're sending so many people out after this. It's great. Let's get some reader mail in here, but not too much. You know what I mean? Let's let a little in. Not all. I don't want to leave the door open too wide. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
All right. Thank you very much. Majestic Narwhal writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, greetings, KFGD crew. With the confirmation of the Pokemon Let's Go games releasing November 16th, Tim, is there any chance of still getting Animal Crossing for Switch in 2018? With Pokemon and Smash both coming out this fall, I think the chances are slim to none, but I'm still hoping. Excited to hear your thoughts.
I don't know if you remember this, Greg.
Yeah.
One of the bets we've had. I have the ongoing thing with Jared with the portable redesign of the Switch or whatever. One of the other ones we had.
Yeah.
Was I was saying that we're either going to get Pokemon or Animal Crossing this year.
Sure.
Not both.
And I said no Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was right and you were right. Everybody's right.
Yep.
Okay, Jared's wrong.
Jared's always wrong.
Yeah. So no Animal Crossing this year.
Okay. Does that hurt you? Does that break your heart?
No. I think Pokemon's the right call.
Okay. Emily writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with a question that's on the wind these days and says, hello, Greg and Andrea. You were a last minute addition. Nobody knew you were coming. In light of the recent Pokemon Let's Go and Fallout 76 announcements coming prior to E3. What does mean? is what she writes. I know you guys have addressed many times on the show that E3 will still be exciting and will still have surprises, but why are publishers not waiting until E3 to share these surprises? I'm totally baffled and hope you guys are able to clarify the thought process given your knowledge and experience. Thanks for the amazing content.
So, Emily, we've been seeing this quite a bit in the last couple of years in particular, that publishers want to get their message out ahead of the incredible amount of competition noise that's going to happen during the week of E3, because there's so many announcements that happen over the now 3 days, 4 days, if you include the direct on Tuesday, of press conferences, starting with Saturday with EA going through Nintendo, that if they want to really drive some narrative or get some excitement within their base around their property, they want to do it on their own terms, on their own priorities, so that they can have their marketing team ready to field any assets or any announcements, or their social media team ready to answer questions. And the easiest way to do that is to announce ahead of E3.
Yeah, get the stuff you want people to talk about and that will already have juice to it. Get it out ahead of time. It's why you see Anthem teasing something right now. It's why yesterday was Fallout Day until it was Pokemon Day. And then people have a chance to get excited, to get hyped, to remember that there is this press conference if they were already going to sleep on that. But think about when we get to Bethesda's conference on Sunday, right? We will have already gone through EA's conference. We will have already gone through Microsoft's conference. We will already have dozens of games we're talking about and caring about, let alone the fact that Bethesda is going to have a bunch of games of theirs, let alone the fact that Fallout is one of them. Like, you want to be able to have your moment, especially for a giant AAA thing, a tentpole game like a Fallout that is going to sell so well.
Yeah, I think that in the same way that games kind of before only came out in fall, and then it was just like a real dead time from January up until maybe even like July.
Yeah, I was Madden was always like the first salvo I thought of, like, shit we care about starting to happen. Yeah,
that's totally shifted and changed. Now games come out throughout the entire year. I feel like with this type of stuff, E3 is no longer the only time that you can put your message out there. And with social media and just with how marketing has kind of evolved, it's like people not wanting to step on each other's toes. They don't want their own toes stepped on. So it's like, let's get some things out there. It is a little sad to me because I like the hype of the surprises at E3.
But you'll still get those. There's still going to be surprises.
We won't. Yeah, but that's my thing with Bethesda. It's like, will we?
Won't. They'll definitely have something. I mean, it won't be
they did it last year. Like, and that's what I'm saying is just like it. Winning E3, having the best press conference, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm just saying this as an enthusiast of hype. I enjoy not knowing the things and being surprised and seeing something cool at E3. And I do think that there's a lot of goodwill that goes into, especially the third party conferences, knocking it out of the park, because when people think of EA, a lot of them are thinking of the press conferences and how they handle it and how they handle their announcements, and they think of them as these evil overlords because they act that way on stage, and it's like when there's people coming out, like on Ubisoft, it's like they're a lot more fun, and like people remember Ubisoft as being a fun company, and I think that stuff is important. And Bethesda again got so much shit last year for not saying anything new. And it's like, it was a great press conference. It's just, we knew everything.
Okay. We'll see. E3 right around the corner. Get hype, everybody. Gatorade hype moments. Yeah, let's give another one for E3. Louise Love writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hello, Kind of Funny hosts. On yesterday's show, when Greg and Tim were talking about Microsoft's E3 conference, you mentioned that you predict Xbox showing Rocksteady's next game, and that would be a huge win for them. You've said this a lot when it comes to other possible multi-platform games Microsoft might show. I've always been confused by what you mean by this and how exactly Microsoft showing a multi-platform game first is a huge win. Personally, I feel Microsoft's E3 conferences have been too multi-platform heavy, nearly to the point where these days I view it as a second Sony conference, since the majority of what they show, I end up buying on PlayStation 4. I guess I was wondering if you could please explain the big deal in the grand scheme of things for either Microsoft or Sony being the first to show a game that can be played on any platform."
It goes into what I was just saying.
Exactly.
It's
right.
Just like the games get associated with the company, and it's just kind of it's the hype of, hey, associating Arkham Asylum with, or Arkham City, whatever, with PlayStation.
Yeah. You know?
And on top of that, all the exclusive DLC and packages that usually come with those announcements. That's why it's exciting.
Yeah. I think it's just a chance of, again, if you're Microsoft, suddenly everyone throughout the show is going to talk about your conference when Phil Spencer said this, and then fucking Rocksteady's logo came up, and everybody lost their mind, right? And that's the clip that gets broken out and put up over and over and over again. It's just, association more than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's always, a unique position to be in, to be the first person to announce a third-party title. I remember very clearly when Metro Exodus was announced on the Xbox stage last year, when Life is Strange Before the Storm was announced on Xbox's stage last year. And, you think about all the stuff that Square Enix does with PlayStation. It's, I don't think that it's a indicator one way or the other. Obviously, we talk a lot about how Sony has a really deep stable of first party exclusives and Microsoft doesn't right now. So that's why they've been kind of going heavy on their third party partners. But I would like to see that. I would like to see that change.
Yeah, it's an interesting argument, and I don't know where it balances out, right? Because I feel Metro and Life, like you're saying, I remember last year on the Xbox stage, and similar to what the question was of, like, it just feel like a second Sony press conference. I feel like even those games aren't huge, right? In terms of, like, what if Rocksteady comes out and says this is our next game, which is just a stupid prediction I've had forever.
Yeah.
If they come out and say this, I think that's a bigger win because, holy shit, at the Xbox conference, this happened, and this game everybody's excited for or wants to, you know, happen.
Yeah. Well, I remember GTA 5 being on the PlayStation stage. That was a big deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, it goes a long way of having your brand associated with this.
And again, I said this yesterday, but when Final Fantasy 13 was already announced on Sony's stage years prior, but when they came out on Microsoft's stage and it's like, it's coming to 360 as well, that was such an oh shit moment a long time ago, but it was huge.
Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Dustin needs help on Blizzard.net. His Blizzard.net name is Migidu Flame, number sign 11587. PC dorks. I've been playing Destiny to mostly alone. I did find a group to play a raid with once, but I'm looking for people to join my clan or even just activate people who are looking to play with others and like talking. My clan is about 10 strong, but nobody ever talks or plays to gather. Got to get those in, Gra. I've been playing Destiny to mostly alone. I did find a group to play raid. I think he just said it again. Yeah, he did say it again. Well, if you want to be friends with Dustin and play Destiny on a PC, go to blizzard.net and find Migidu Flame number sign 11587 and just teach him about periods and just teach him how where periods go in sentences. That'd be helpful. Andrea and Tim, you both are prepped. I don't know who's doing
it. I got
what.
It.
Everybody's got
I'm
it?
I'm ready.
There's only
yeah.
one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's not that many.
Yeah, every day if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we ask you to keep us honest and go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. What do we get wrong today, Andrew?
The first one's kind of up for debate. Luke Carl Wolf says, the Let's Go games are not the first Pokemon game on the Switch. That was Pokken Tournament DX from 2017. Tim,
suck a D, that
rebuttal.
Don't count.
We all know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Mustafa says, just a small correction. Pokemon is both singular and plural, like moose. So saying Pokemons is not technically correct.
Blackjack says, Greg, when you called the Sony hotline, it was Resistance that you trolled him about, not Gears of War. The employee was convinced that Resistance was on 360. Still one of my funniest beyond memories.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord of Pwn says, correct, Andrew, the Dark Knight of News, Goldfarb, did injure himself playing Pokemon Go. He fell off a pier and had to wear a foot brace.
Xanfair says, it is battle.net, not blizzard.net. I don't remember.
It is battle.net. Did you say blizzard.net?
That's what Dustin wrote in. Dustin, I'm pretty sure, is a self-aware AI somewhere. He's like that thing where he's like, the AI's learned a little bit of language and it's just throwing it around now, trying to figure it out.
That's it.
All right. Not too bad. Tomorrow, your host is Jared. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, watch the show. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen on a podcast of your choosing. Maybe watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. No matter where you get it, thank you so much for your support. Please consider going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can give us some money, keep the lights on, the mics going, and get exclusive content. Until next time, let's just do like one of these. It's been our pleasure to serve you. Whoa, Bundy!